Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! They are the alarm clock that wakes up the force. Your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salvin!
Yeah! What's up, everybody? I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
Did you forget for a second?
No, I can't hear out of my right ear, so I couldn't hear you.
All right, guys, this is actually kind of exciting. It is Justin's 80th birthday today.
Happy birthday to Mr. Talk to his right side.
This is just a way I can ignore you during the show without seeming weird.
Right. It's like that old expression, talk to the right side because I can't hear you with the left side.
Yep. Classic. Like, talk to the hand.
Speaking of classic, you wanted to talk about 420 a little bit?
Big holiday, 420?
Yeah, we're super timely, so go ahead.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. What did you get under the 420 tree, Pete?
I got a bag of weed.
Oh, I love weed.
Classic.
Yeah. My favorite thing in order, eating weed, drinking weed, and then giving weed to other people as a present.
Well, what a nice thing.
Yeah,
When was the last time you smoked pot?
420.
Okay, cool. So,
yes, 420, that's a date when people have marijuana, I think.
Yep.
Hey, see, now we've outed him finally as the narc that he is.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, what comic book characters do you think would celebrate 420, Justin?
That's great. Great question.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I came up with it before the show.
Nice. Great.
I'm going to say Impossible Man because he's green and marijuana is green.
That's great. I feel like
maybe the Hulk. He's also green.
Yeah.
Well, if he's smoked, he wouldn't be so angry all the time.
That would just calm him down.
Swamp Thing, he's made out of plants.
I think the Punisher probably gets a little high.
What?
Just, you know, after a long day.
Yeah, you think so?
Well, and then he just, takes apart his guns and puts them back together.
I was going to say Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. You know what I was going to say about the Punisher? I bet what he does is, like, he smokes some marijuana and he's like, oh, this is illegal. I'm going to shoot myself. Whatever. I don't care.
Nice. I love hearing you say marijuana.
I'm glad you did a voice for that.
It's never been said better than what you say. The Cheech and Chong of the show, Alex Zalbin.
Alex, thank you very much.
Bong hits Zalbin.
What can I say? I love drugs.
Exactly. Having children is the ultimate high, right?
It sure is. I smoked them yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Congrats.
Yeah. Well, hey, if it's illegal to smoke your own children.
They come from the earth.
Yep.
And they shall return to the earth. Speaking of somebody who's going to return to the earth, he's back from the earth, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
One of our favorite guests to have here on the show, ladies and gentlemen, David Geller!
Yay! David, welcome to the show. Have a seat.
Wow, check out that standing ovation. Guys, please.
Yeah. David, very excited to have you back here. As always, you're very busy.
One of us is excited to have you back.
Oh, boy, you just spilled your drink.
Spilled your drink. Pete's already on your ass.
Yeah, that's alcohol?
Yeah. You're going to like this one.
All right. This is actually my first big boy timeout.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm super excited.
Yeah.
Speaking of big boy stuff, you have a big boy comic that came out, David.
Yes, yeah. It's called Bob's Big Boy Number One. No, it's Green Lantern Corps Convergence Number One. I wrote it with illustrated by Steve Ellis.
Yeah.
Longtime partner.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Your life partner.
Yeah, so that's very cool. You guys always have a ton of projects going on. This is obviously a huge event that's happening with DC right now. We've talked about it quite a bit here on the show, but I'm curious, behind the scenes, what was it like? How did you end up with this book? What was it like putting it together? What happened?
Once upon a time. No, actually last year on my birthday, Dan DiDio called me up and said, hey, we're doing the same.
He didn't say happy birthday?
He didn't say it's fucked up. Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird.
He calls me every year on my birthday.
Yeah.
Weird. No, anyway,
Does he wish you a happy birthday?
No, he offers me to write a Convergence book.
Yeah. Okay. And you say, call me
every year, yeah. I'm like, call me in 2015, you weirdo.
No, so he and Marie Javens and Poppy Chase, they called and said, hey, we're doing this thing, you know, and they were familiar with the stuff that I did and, you know, obviously High Moon and Only Living Boy. And so they walked through the event and they asked me if I was interested. And I said, yeah, sure. That sounds awesome.
That's a great phone call to get.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. It was a nice little birthday present.
Yeah.
So, and it's not like I think that they knew it was my birthday. They weren't like, hey, it's just randomly.
No, let's just call it. It's his birthday.
They're like, listen, yeah, it's his 21st birthday. He's going to be a little drunk, but we'll give him a call. Yeah.
So, no, so they had specific things that they have to happen in the story. Like, oh, well, like, it was four things. They said, these four things just, like, have to happen because, you know, this is part of a larger event. So
yeah, can you say what those four things were?
I thought we could guess.
Well, yes. Okay, so the dome comes down.
Right.
Which is a thing. The dome opens up, which is a thing.
Correct.
And the other two things I can't say.
Oh.
Oh, really?
One of them happens in the next issue, and the other one is like the big impetus for what happens in this issue. So if I told you, it would be like major spoilers.
Spoiler.
Okay. So
it was cool. And then, you know, I wrote the first couple scripts. We, all the writers and I, like, collaborated back and forth on, like, oh, well, wouldn't it be cool if we used this character? And wouldn't it be cool if we used this character? And so that was really awesome. And by the time I got to choose beyond who the Green Lantern Corps were going to fight, I was, like, really super stoked. And then they said, who do you want to work with? And I said, you know, it would be really great if Steve Ellis could illustrate this. And they said, done. And that was really it. And then,
cool.
Yeah, so the first issue, you know, was done. And by the time we got to the second issue, you can tell that it's, like, really a David Gallagher and Steve Ellis story because it features all those crazy over-the-top things that people really seem to like.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's interesting to hear that this was planned for well over a year. That's kind of fascinating to me just because I think the public perception of this event, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, that it was this very hurried, oh, crap, we're moving, we got to cover it. You know, some people call it a Band-Aid or other things. But obviously this has been in the works actually for a while.
Yeah, it's been in the works for a while. And one of the things that I really liked is, I think actually one of the things that Steve and I really liked in fact putting the book together, we said, like, when's the next time we're ever going to write Green Lantern again? So let's, like, do everything we could possibly ever do in this book and highlight everything that we ever loved about the Green Lantern Corps and put it in this book, and we did it.
Wow. So what's your number one thing? One thing you love about Green Lantern?
The rings.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool. The lanterns.
The lanterns. Well, all the shirts.
Because I used to work for the New York City Police Department for 5 years, one of the things I really like about the Green Lantern Corps is they're essentially like the first responders of the DC Universe. So when I think that they work best, they are like, it's like rescue fiction. It's like watching a firefighter show or a police officer show on TV. Like these are the outer space police cop people. So yeah, so I like that.
That was actually, do you know that was the original name for Green Lantern? Was outer space police cop people?
Well, yeah. Lensman was already taken.
Yeah.
So
they worked.
You're a cop, man. You're a cop?
Yeah.
We were just joking about earlier
yeah,
that was in the show.
Yeah, yeah, we no, never,
we guys, never really.
Yeah, I didn't get weed under my
boots. Yeah.
I mean, I love it. I love smoking weed. But.
Yeah, so, you know, it's...
do you guys, just real quick, do you guys want to sell any to me?
Well, it's actually
we should
decriminalized to have on you, you know, maybe this is a giant sting operation.
Oh, shit.
This show?
Yep.
Yeah.
You guys? All narcs.
Oh, man.
The entire audience.
Wow. That's cool. You went
to a lot of trouble for this sting.
So we won't spoil what happens in this issue, but it is a lot of fun. You get to work with all of the big Green Lanterns. Was there anyone that was off the table? Any characters you couldn't use?
There was actually one thing I wanted to do that I thought, oh, yeah, it would be really cool if we did this thing. And they were like, yeah, we can't do that. I wanted to use Kyle Rayner in sort of an unconventional appearance. And they were like, yeah, we can't really do that. But, I mean, that was, like, so, like, off the cuff, kind of, like, silly.
He was going to be dead in the refrigerator?
I'm not going to say it. But it was, like, sort of this
off the cuff.
Like,
it was that. It was that. We got him. You got Comic Book Club God.
This book takes place, like, firmly before Crisis of Infinite Earths. So I just had to be mindful of that. And I thought, oh, well, here's this, like, a little cute little fan nod. And, you know, it's fine that we didn't include it. Because I got to reference the Super Friends and the Legion of Doom and the Rockford Files. And so, there's actually a scene in there that is actually an homage to the Rockford Files.
So this
great
is...
for the young generation.
This is pre-Crisis on Infinite Earths, Green Lantern Corps.
in Gotham City,
right,
on another planet,
right,
interacting under with other continuities
under a dome.
Yes.
Yeah. Did your because my head starts hurting thinking
nope,
about all the
my head didn't hurt at all.
All right.
Never.
No, nope. Nope.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
So, I mean, the way I think about it is this. And I think we explain why our characters are in Gotham for very specific reasons. But it's essentially, you know, like, hey, we're superheroes. We all have to respond to this big thing. And everybody comes to this big thing, and then suddenly they're imprisoned. It's like 10 little Indians under a dome. Or what's the, then there were none.
Or it's like
dome.
That show, Under the Dome.
Under the Dome? Or,
no, it's not like that.
Isn't it a little?
I don't know. I don't think like it's that. Like that.
Or The Simpsons Movie?
Also yeah. Under a okay. Dome.
Or The City on the Edge of Forever? Not The City on the Edge of Forever. Mm-hmm.
Syracuse? There's cool. a dome there.
There was a,
dome in Syracuse, yeah.
There was a book by Edgar Hamilton. He's an author who was married to Lee
comic
Brackett.
Book? A comic book?
No, science fiction prose novel in the
1990s. No, thanks.
Yeah, you know, we
not interested. No.
No, Under the Dome is such a common science fiction trope, and so it's not like one idea that was patented by...
Yeah, I think it's a little more like an America's Next Top Model type thing, because people are competing and getting eliminated.
Oh, you think that's where this first started? Dan yeah. was watching that, and he was like, you know what? We should do that, except under a dome for our superheroes.
Yep, exactly.
Actually,
I'll tell you what. My wife is addicted to RuPaul's Drag Race, which I've never seen until last night where I was working, and I looked up at the last minute of RuPaul's Drag Race.
No spoilers, because those spoilers are in the book.
Oh, yeah, no, that reveals the winner of last night's RuPaul's Drag Race. don't just watch the last minute of that. Do okay. not. You will not understand what's going on.
Sure.
You should take more interest in your wife's interests.
No thanks.
So what
I'm
really,
too busy. Reading comic books.
You
and
looked
movies.
Up for a second. We're terrified, and we're like, "No, ma'am."
Hey. So what I really actually enjoyed about it too is that it was so reminiscent of the 1950s Bottled City of Candor stuff. That happened with Superman. So it was a really nice opportunity.
Can I just interrupt for a second? I appreciate you trying to get this show back on track.
Yeah.
You can't interrupt.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for being a good host on this show.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we're down three.
You guys are my guests, actually. I am the host.
It's
welcome
great.
To Comic Club, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, Alex Zalbin!
I can't wait to talk about our project.
Yeah, here's a little secret. About 4 years in, we started to hate comic books.
Yeah. That's the worst spoiler of all.
Not all of us. Not all of us.
No, that's not
only
true.
Alex.
We love comic books. They're a wonderful art medium with unlimited potential. Let's talk about this event.
Yeah, oh, that was
so.
We have been talking about or yes. trying. To
no,
talk
I
about.
Did. I did legitimately like this comic book a lot. I think it's a lot of fun. Love Guy Gardner. He's one of my favorite characters. So I think it's awesome that you got to play with him.
And this is what was really nice about working with Guy is that this is Guy. Pre-crisis, like a lot of people forget that Guy was like tortured in the Phantom
he's had
Zone.
Every company has him with a shitty life.
No, yeah. But I mean, like in the 1960s when the character was revealed, you know, like he went through this thing. He was like, oh, I guess I'm going to be like a substitute Green Lantern or whatever. His first moment that he ever gets to have the power ring, he's hanging out with Green Arrow for a while and recharges his ring and the power battery explodes in his face and then Guy is sucked into the Phantom Zone. Where he's then tortured by General Zod, tortured by Sinestro, and simultaneously as that is happening, Hal Jordan is marrying Guy Gardner's fiance.
Yeah, that's all fucked up, because I didn't know all that, and I read this, and I was like, well, this is weird.
Yeah.
What a bummer life
but that
he had.
Actually happened all pre-crisis.
That's crazy. You know what that reminds me of? Just because I'm a little more of a Marvel guy than a DC guy, and I didn't necessarily know that.
Cyclops and Jean Grey? And
yeah, that's a good one. I was thinking more of Johnny Storm and Alicia Masters when Secret Wars happened. Call back to Secret Wars happening
nice.
Right now.
Really pushing the
company. But Ben Grimm left, and then Johnny Storm straight up married his girlfriend.
Only yeah. it
turned out to be a Skrull named Elijah.
There you go. Super rude.
Very rude on both the Skrull and Johnny Storm.
Yeah, tying in today's Fuller House news, how rude.
Yeah. Now, let me ask
Man,
you.
Now, that's way fresher than 420. Now, very topical. The
yes.
Full House.
I also have watched a lot of Full House. I'll assure you that.
Cool.
Before you guys got married, did you test for Skrulls? Or did you just get married and trust it?
No, I assume my wife's a Skrull.
Oh, okay. Smart.
Yeah, same.
And I'm cool with it. I hope we get to go to the Skrull planet.
Actually, here's the thing about Justin's wife. She's actually Mystique.
Oh. Yeah.
Did you say Mystique or Mystique?
Who knows?
I'm sorry. Like I said, I can't really hear it this year. I hope you said one of those things.
Yeah, wait. That's the opposite here. Well, anyway, we should move on. What else is going on with you, David? You always have a lot of projects.
Yeah, so we're so we're doing Only Living Boy, which is serialized on our website, the olbcomic.com. That's super exciting.
OLB.
OLB.
Yeah, you call it OLB.
Or if you want an even shorter URL, olb.nyc.
No, thanks. Ooh. I like long URLs.
That olbcomic.com is even shorter than our original only-living-boy.com.
That's too many hyphens.
Well, you have the app that extends URLs.
Yeah.
Where people pay to have their URLs.
Yeah. Smart. Smart.
Yeah, so no.
Bitly.
And then we just recently relaunched High Moon.
Yeah. Very good.
Which you guys might be familiar with because each one of you is named after a character in the series.
High Moon is my favorite.
I might be reversed.
Oh, or it might be, but it's not.
Oh, no. Were we bored after the series?
Yeah, so I was like, you know, in season three of High Moon, we're going to make a character called Alexander. And then, like, as we did that, Comic Book Club was a thing. And then, you know, Justin, after we introduced Justin and Pete LePage in season four.
Oh, how can we get both names?
I know. Then you guys ended up as co-hosts.
Yeah, we sprang to life out of a comic book.
I know.
It's funny, Pete, you're in three comic books, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, you're in High Moon, you're a villain in Hack Slash, and you're a major character in Lock and Key.
Yeah.
Wait, are you in Deadpool, too?
No.
Are you sure?
He's just the one that Jordan always thinks about when she gets fucked up.
When Jordan wants to make somebody angry, he pictures me and then writes what he wants people to write.
Yeah.
He's like, we really need to kill this major character.
Yeah, exactly. Let's kill Wolverine. Let's kill Deadpool.
You're like the Kenny of the Marvel Universe. Yeah, every character who dies is Pete LePage.
That would be kind of amazing.
Which is weird, because when Jean Grey died, I swore she had a mustache just like yours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You really also paint have a similar mustache.
Yeah,
all my young adolescent fantasies.
Yeah, you're kind of the Madeline Pryor to his Jean Grey.
In a lot of ways. Like a little, like more mysterious, like more sexual.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Speaking of sexual, let's talk about the
talk about
That's it.
I was going
to
say
he was trying to transition.
I was trying to. Yeah, that was my transition. But I'm also not the host of the series.
Let him host. Okay, he's hosting.
Yeah, let him host.
You're doing a great job.
I was
going to
talk about the really cool X-Men news that came out today. But
we'll get to that in a little bit. We'll talk about that later in the show. But first, why don't we move to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Speaking of something sexual, let's go to the stack.
Let's.
That's a very big stack you have this evening.
Hello. Thank you very much. Let's move on. So in the stack, we're going to talk about some comics that we each liked, talk about our picks.
Yeah.
This is Pete's pick, which I'm very surprised about, actually. Uncanny X-Men, number 33.
Yeah!
Woo-hoo! Pete,
very surprising.
I don't think you've ever picked this on the show. I didn't even know you read this comic book.
No, that's not true. I've picked it a couple of times. Not much, though.
Well, I have not been paying attention.
Yeah,
you've always been a huge fan of Kitty Pryde.
Well, no, I'm not a fan of Kitty.
Yeah, you're a huge fan of Ilyana Rasputin.
I am, actually. She's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you like how big the sword is.
Well, no, because she was raised by demons, and I can relate to that.
Whoa!
Oh, revelations.
Pete's parents, sorry about that. They do listen every week. he is calling you straight up Belasco-style hell demons.
But anyways, Bendis writes this book. I'm a fan of his work, so I check this out. This is a surprising issue because you get a little break from action. Normally that to me means, snooze fest, I don't have to pick this up. But actually, this is a really touching story.
It's a huge break. All they do is fight giant monsters on an island full of monsters.
Well,
that's it.
Well, asshole, that's not dealing with the main story that's going on right now. What it's dealing with is two friends trying to reconnect, even though their house has kind of been divided a little bit.
Wow. Fuck you.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
I have never heard you give such a lovely description of a comic book right there.
Yeah, that's
two friends trying to reconnect, even though their houses are a bit divided.
So
you liked it.
House LePage and House Zalbin. Are you talking about our rift?
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Well, you're the Kitty Pride because you're so, like, objects pass right through you, like emotions. And Pete's feelings.
Yeah.
And they never affect you. And you're Ileana Rasputin because of the aforementioned demon raising them.
Yeah, exactly. She also has a rage I can relate to.
So am I the little girl that you guys rescue?
Yeah.
Because you live in a cave, just like in the book.
Yeah, and you don't know your powers yet or how to talk.
That's sort of true. I'm in a very weakened state.
Yep.
What did you think about this book?
Oh, this book?
Yeah.
Speaking of something sexual.
Sorry, just a quick reminder. We review comic books.
I thought we gave it up 4 years ago. I like this a lot, too. I love the art in this as well.
Glad
it was very well by...
Chris Anka.
Chris Anka. I was going to say Paul Anka, but it's definitely not him.
That's nope.
It's not unusual. It's Tom Jones.
Very close, though. Really great art. Very expressive. And this... feels a little bit like a sort of fill-in issue before we get into Bendis's last couple
but it's
books.
Not. It's actually
as teased, there's something that happens in tomorrow's issue that we'll discuss.
Yeah, it's a real Friday bomb drop for all the Bendis heads out there. But in this, it is still a very sweet story.
Great rap.
Thank you. Hey, man, get on Tumblr. You're going to love it.
I love Tumblr. Give me some gifts.
Give me some gifts. And so anyway, in this, it's a very sweet story, bringing us a mutant back to the Jean Grey Academy. And it sort of felt like a very old-fashioned X-Men story, so I like that.
Let me ask you guys a question. And I don't know, David, how into the Marvel Universe you are right now, reading stuff regularly, anything like that?
Well, I do play the Marvel Superheroes role-playing game.
That's not what I'm talking about.
No, I keep up with
it. Yeah, does
I like
it,
how you adjusted this is, your this imaginary is such glasses. A,
this is such a very particular comic book thing, but knowing that Secret Wars is coming about a month, 2 months down the road, are you starting to get the feeling at all that none of this matters?
No, I don't think that that's... My feeling is that... it's like looking at the way that the New 52 books ended, like the books before the New 52. Like every single
there was. Book I only actually started reading DC Comics at New 52.
You are a liar.
Yeah, I am a liar.
Real revisionist.
So I look at the way that DC books ended right before the New 52, and I think ultimately, I think we as fans are under this misnomer that only certain stories count, and I think that every story counts in that Grant Morrison kind of. Hyper time kind of way. I think every story matters and every story counts. And every story is relevant at least to somebody. So I think it all matters. And I think ultimately Marvel Comics are sort of following that Marvel Cinematic Universe version of it's all connected hashtag sort of thing. But no, I think it all matters.
A lot of times the hashtags go at the beginning.
Yeah, be quiet, you. I think it all matters. I think that, you know, Bendis excels at telling personal stories, and I think that this is a good example of where he really excels in playing to his strengths.
I hear what you're saying, Zelvin. I kind of have a different feeling on it. It's more like I can't wait for it to be over so comics can get back to just telling stories and being good again.
Interesting. I sort of feel, oddly, a little bit like Pete. I feel like these are the writers and artists finishing up their arcs before they have to do something else that they're being forced to do, sort of. And that will probably be good, and I'll probably like that as well, but this feels like they're trying to get their last little bits out before they have to move on.
Well, let's talk about that, actually. This ties nicely into your pick, which was Thor number 7, also from Marvel Comics.
Woo!
Thor because number 7!
I've already taken a look.
Yeah, this is the, not second to last issue, but next issue we finally find out who the new Thor is. Battle for the Hammer. This has all been leading up to this. What do you think about this issue? Why did you pick it?
I love this. This book has been so good. We're seeing Jason Aaron.
Hell of a writer.
Yeah, very, very good writer.
Yeah.
We're seeing this new Thor, sort of learning about her and how she's different, how she's similar.
She's badass, man.
She's badass, and I love the use of the thought balloons in this because you get sort of her very modern take, but then she speaks in all the like. Old English style Thor language. There's this great moment where she loses her hammer in her battle in this, and then gets it back and she kisses it.
Oh yeah, that was great. That was badass.
Great moment.
Yeah,
I miss you too, Hammer.
Jason Aaron is awesome. He is on fire right now with absolutely everything that he's doing. This book is great. Who do you think? I mean, at this point, they're pretty strongly suggesting that the new Thor is actually Roz.
Thor's girlfriend. What do you think? Is it her or is it somebody else? Is
I was surprised because in this issue, I was like, oh, it's definitely her. And then they're like, next issue, you'll really find out. And I was like, oh, is this like a total misdirect?
Yeah, this could be.
I want it to be Darcy Lewis. Do you guys know who Darcy Lewis is?
Isn't
I'll tell you, it's probably not her.
No, but Darcy Lewis was Kat Dennings from, she played Kat Dennings. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be amazing to have Kat Dennings play, you know, play Thor for a little while. And she could call Thor Meow Meow. It would be it'd be sweet. Yeah. You know, no, I think that, this is a total aside, but I'll get back to why this is awesome in a minute. So I run a monthly Marvel Superheroes role-playing game. And in it, one of our players is playing Thor, Goddess of Thunder. And I think it speaks to the testament of Jason Aaron's writing that you have people who are young fans who really get into this modern take of the character.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I think it's great. I hope she sticks around for a long time.
Yeah,
me too.
Would you say you already know who it is?
Oh, I will say, well, I will say one of my pet peeves is everybody who calls her Lady Thor.
Yeah.
Because she is not Lady Thor, and I see so many like articles going, oh, it's Lady Thor. I'm like, no, she's not Lady Thor.
What if, like me, I call Thor Dude Thor?
No, I call him Gentleman Thor, and then I imagine that he's wearing, like, a sweater vest and has a monocle and carries a pocket watch.
He's a Gentleman Thorler.
Thor.
Huh? It's like a collar. I don't know. This is a great book. Definitely pick it up. Let's move on with our last pick. This was apparently my pick. Archie versus Predator, number one.
Yeah.
Archie Comics.
What do you say, apparently your pick?
Well, yeah, why do you say apparently?
This is your pick. You picked it last week.
I was talking about it last week.
You were
week.
All excited about it. Why are you saying apparently?
Are you down I'm on just saying, are you down
what, what's
Predator?
Going on
are you
with you?
You see what you were just like, then
this comic kicks ass. All right,
that's the Alex we know.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's ridiculous and horrifying, and like I was talking about last week, bloodier even than Afterlife with Archie, which is the Archie zombie series.
Great book.
Because here you're actually getting Archie-style art, and then the Predator skins people, and it's terrifying.
And it's very weird because the blood looks legit like ketchup.
Yeah, you don't really get to see the skin.
What I love about what Archie is
doing. This is two bodies that are being hung from a tree.
Yeah, but you don't get to see him like ripping the skin off. Is my
Jesus
point?
Jesus, what do you is want? This
you
what
just
do you
see
want
the after.
Out of your life?
You just see the.
Have you ever read Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud?
Nope.
Is that a book?
What
is that a book or a podcast?
It's a book.
It's both, but the book was first. It's written on human skin, so you're going to love
all
it.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. We see the Predator and people being taken by the Predator, and then we see their rib cages and blood dripping off of them.
Right.
Part of the margins of the comic books is you get to elaborate it.
I know what happened, asshole. I was just pointing out. You were like, oh, he skinned him. And it made it seem like when you buy
what
the
do you
comic,
think
you
happened?
Get to see
their skin
first
fall
off,
off and the
no
Predator
one,
was
no
there?
No one said skin them but you. That was your idea. But,
I could have sworn he said that.
But I feel like your imagination of that skinning would be just as exciting as seeing it drawn.
What I really love about what Archie is doing now is that they're really in a I don't give a fuck kind of
place.
Yeah, kind of place.
You mean like right before a nervous breakdown?
I was thinking more like President Obama's like second term. He's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm just going to pass all this legislation or whatever. Yeah, I mean, like it's clear that like Archie is they're tired of flying under the radar and they're pushing a lot of boundaries, and I think that's great. Bravo.
Yeah, I agree
them.
With you. In this comic though, the thing that was the most unsettling to me is when Betty got slapped across the face and had a wicked nosebleed.
Yeah,
I did not like that.
That was weird.
Because the Predator skinning Cheryl Blossom or whatever, I was like, oh, I get that.
Yeah.
But Veronica slapped.
Didn't show it.
Yeah, I know, but I get it. I understand. Right. The Predator, that's normal behavior.
Well,
Veronica slaps Betty.
Pete.
Yeah.
Because you were able to see the slap, that's more disturbing to you than two recurring characters in Archie Comics getting skinned alive.
Yep.
And their spine and skull riddled.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Great. Where I sort of drew the line was Elvis Costello song Veronica was playing in the background as it was happening.
Yeah. No. Another great reference for the millennial.
Yeah.
Can I tell you guys how pervasive Archie is in pop culture? This is a little bit of a mild spoiler, but I won't tell you how.
There is a no joke. There is an Archie joke in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Perfect.
It's crazy. So look forward to that.
All right. Okay, well, thank you for teasing out these reveals over the course
of No problem. We'll talk
that's
about
what
it.
Keeps people coming
talk
back
about
to
it next week.
I read Avengers Age of Ultron.
You guys saw it, right? It's been, I saw it a couple of weeks ago.
I read Avengers Age of Ultron.
What?
I read Avengers Age of Ultron.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you guys fighting or about to kiss? I can't tell.
50-50.
Alex, you're talking about the movie.
I am.
I was talking about the graphic novel. Because this is a graphic novel podcast.
I stopped reading comic books 4.5 years ago.
That's why Archie and Predator is apparently your pick.
This is a great comic. Definitely pick it up. It's fucked up.
Yeah, if you
just like I was yesterday on 420.
Yeah.
Wait. Is that a confession? Guys,
get him.
Red team go.
Guys, it's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because I get to come out and talk to you guys. It's your audience questions. And in this, if you have a question for this amazing guest over here, David Gallagher,
if you have a question for this,
this is a pause.
Yeah.
This
piece of shit that we brought on our show.
Listen, guys. I haven't eaten anything today, and I've had a beer and a half, so I'm a little...
Well, beer is hell bad! Beer is liquid bread.
I'm really
it's
hungry.
Like bread soda.
420, 24/7, bro!
What, are you down on beer
Smoke pass, that's what I always say.
Beer is bread soda or liquid beer.
Guys, if you have any questions about our...
Do not insult beer in front of anybody on this show.
Bread's awesome.
If you have any questions about our bread soda 420, how to deal with your marijuana addiction or anything like that.
Or if you want to complain about
your
parents.
Raise your hand and you get some free comics. And apparently, what was it? An Avengers.
Oh, thanks to Kenny Farmer at Kenny Farmer Art. You could get an Avengers Bluetooth speaker.
Whoa. Awesome. That's pretty cool.
Cool. Now, you teased that before the show so people would know about
it,
right?
That's
that's why we have a big crowd, yeah.
Pete's been
teasing
that for a long
time. How do you put the speaker on your ear?
It's Bluetooth wireless, dickhead.
Yeah, this is just a broken headphone. Sorry, guys. It's still pretty cool, though. We still play music.
Cool. Raise your hand if you got a question, and we will come over to you and answer that question. Literally anybody
You will ask it, and we will answer it.
Yeah! All right. Woo!
Yep, I'm going to ask the question and answer the question. Cool. What's your name, sir?
My name is Vaki.
All right, what's your question?
All right, this may come up in the Weekend Geek, but... with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff coming, I was just wondering, just knowing that it's Mockingbird and not Hawkeye, what you guys would name it?
Ah, interesting. Ooh.
That's a great question. Those of you who haven't heard the news, there's a rumor out there that there will be an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff starring Adrian Palicki as Mockingbird, Nick Blood, who's been her on-again, off-again dude on the show, will also be heading over to the spinoff. Other than that, nothing's clear. It could be a legit spinoff. They both run at the same time. It could run during the break in the show like Agent Carter did. We don't necessarily know. But other than that, what would you want the show to be called?
I don't know.
Morse code.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
That's funny because her last name is Agent Bobby Morse.
How about Bobbying for Apples?
Okay, that's also...
How are you even a host? How is that even a
show? Morse code was a lot better.
At least it was a pun.
We usually
for apples is also
Pete's,
a pun.
Pete's usually the one that fights with you, and it's turned into a real Alex versus Dave moment.
Yeah.
I mean, just tell me, what is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Is this a television? Is that still a
come
television
on,
show?
Guy. Still, come on, you know what it is.
It's, okay.
Don't play
so
dumb.
It features the fastest man alive.
And it
features this guy who shoots arrows and this guy who shrinks.
How about more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's
sort of
really
like really
solid.
How about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Knights?
Or
good.
Do Mockingbird Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nice.
I just want a spin-off called the Cavalry.
Calvary.
No, wait. Hold on. Just pause for a second. What do you want it to be called?
Fuck you.
The Calvary.
No, I'm just wondering. No,
I've been eating dinner. I've had a beer and a half.
Yeah, we gotta start eating dinner and going to puberty.
Are you looking forward
to
that? Do you want to see a Mockingbird spinoff?
I like the character of Mockingbird. I honestly don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I don't know anything else about it.
I love
Did you see G.I. Joe? She's in that.
No, she is actually
the actor.
Friday Night Lights.
She's actually the sister to a friend of mine.
It's like that, but with superpowers.
Oh, cool. I'm into it.
Her brother writes comic books.
Cool. Wow, this is all great facts about this girl.
Yep.
Thanks.
Adrian
Pilecki. If I wasn't married, I'd go on a date with her. Are you trying to set me up with her? I'm married as to Mystique.
Like, she's great on the show. I'm not quite as crazy
you
about Nick
mistake.
Blood. I think he's all right. He's totally fine. I would, obviously, as a comic book fan, like to see Mockingbird and Hawkeye together. They've even
you
potentially...
heard that...
What?
Oh, never mind.
What?
You heard that he might be showing up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. next season.
Yeah, he'll do anything. Renner? He'll show up anywhere.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, Kevin Feige said as much.
Yeah,
yeah, he'll show up here.
No, I know, and I've interviewed Adrian Pilecki, and she's teased that Hawkeye will come up at some point.
Oh, did anyone say Bobbying for Apples yet?
Cool.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Let's get the next question. Anybody? Question for David? Anybody
there we go.
Yes. You, sir, I'm going to come over to you.
Welcome back, sir.
Thank you. I'm sure it's going to, again, come up in the Week in Geek, but with the new teaser for Star Wars coming out.
Oh,
what?
Man. Did you cry? Did you cry when you watched it?
I don't know how to cry.
All right.
am I allowed to flip this table?
Just wait a second.
Yeah, dude.
Just wait one second.
Cool.
All right, just for the sake of ask your question, David actually isn't allowed to answer this. This is super weird.
They said save it for the show.
Except for Justin, who won't see it until like 2 years after it's out.
Yeah, burn!
Right, it's right when it's ripe.
What is it that you're most hoping happens or you get to find out in the Star Wars universe in this movie? Ooh. And what is it you hope they don't do?
Great.
Great cool. question.
I hope.
All right, just to give a little bit of context and not to derail this immediately, but
you
David Gallagher, our guest on the show... hates Star Wars and hates Peter Parker. So basically he's not a human being.
Right.
Yeah. Man.
But we don't want to derail this. We want to honor the question first. So we can get to that, the fact that he's not human, later. But let's first address the question.
Sure.
Yeah, I hope nothing is ever mentioned of Jar Jar Binks again. And I just... from the trailer, I just want more of what they showed because...
Did you watch the special edition of the trailer? Because in the special edition of the trailer, the last line is Jar Jar shows up and he says,
no.
Chewie, we's a home!
No.
Oh, we's a home,
no.
Chewie!
Here we go again, he says.
It doesn't make sense because him and Chewie weren't together in the
first... Yeah, they're buddies.
No.
They all hang out. I loved all of the Crash Star Destroyer. I love the fact that this is such a great follow-up to, like, well, you save the universe, but there's mess to clean up.
Yeah.
So I love the idea, like, the Millennium Falcon flying into the engine, the jet of that Star Destroyer was awesome. I love all that shit, where we don't know who's who. The stormtroopers could be good or bad, or we don't know. Like, that's the most exciting thing, that the whole world's shaken up. And of course, I want to see the result of the trade negotiations from Phantom Menace. Like, we got to figure out where they
absolutely.
Ended up.
Absolutely. I mean,
who's buying what from which planet?
What's going on with the trade negotiations?
Importing, exporting.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, though? My God. We got to find out what's up with those fucking Genosians.
Yeah, the Genosians. How's their culture going?
What's up with them?
Yeah.
Man,
like, what droids are they building these days? Yeah, totally.
Oh.
Yeah. Actually, on the prequel notes, my favorite thing about the trailer and the previous teaser as well is how good it looks. It's a good-looking movie. Shut
Beautiful.
Up, David. I'm going to murder you where you
I
sit.
I said nothing.
Yeah, he has actually been very good.
He has been shaking his head, and I'm going to kill him.
It's an audio podcast.
I'm
going to
kill him.
Just wait. So did you watch the Force Awakens trailer?
I did.
You did?
You did.
And did now, if you could divorce your nonsensical hatred of Star Wars very briefly from that, just watching that as a standalone trailer, what did you think?
I did not like it.
You did? Why?
What did you think he was going to say?
It doesn't make sense why you would just, if you could just be like, oh, this has nothing to do with Star Wars, it's a different movie.
Are we going to save this for the Week in Geek, or are we going to get into
it? No, we're getting into this right now.
Let's do it.
So I watched the entire trailer. I thought, well,
you watched the whole thing?
Wow, all of it?
In 40 seconds?
I watched the whole thing.
How'd you do that?
Hey, come on, let him get to his point, and then we can shit on him.
Because so much of Star Wars is rooted in nostalgia. And keep in mind, I didn't see Empire until last year.
That's insane.
Wow. So you were just born last year.
Yeah.
I don't have any connection to these characters.
Right.
I didn't see any of the Star Wars movies until I was
in. You have been at convention zone and seen people walk around.
I just want to mention, for context, my 5-year-old daughter also watched Empire for the first time last year. Go on.
Damn.
I saw the Star Wars movies after I started working for Marvel Comics.
Okay.
I didn't see them growing up because I was banned from seeing them.
Oh,
by George Lucas?
By my father.
Really?
Who thought that they were satanic because I was raised by a Southern Baptist minister.
Ooh. Oh, man. I didn't know
that. So,
we want to really talk about the influence, the negative influence that Star Wars has had on popular culture. I can talk about that a lot because I was raised with that.
Right, right.
From the sexual violation of Princess Leia by Jabba to in Empire.
It was never shown.
So your dad must have seen them to know about that, though.
Oh, I'm just saying that I am very, very familiar with
the negative connotations.
Star Wars from how
what about
ripped
the
off,
positive though?
From
the
how
positive.
It ripped off shot by shot. Galaxy of a Thousand Planets.
But if you,
the French graphic novel.
There are
like,
a lot of
literally
criticisms.
Where Han is frozen in carbonite that is literally stolen shot by shot. Or the incest between Princess Leia and Luke.
Let's talk a little bit deeper
about how there's only one out of six good Star Wars movies.
What are you talking about? There's three good ones.
And that's a 50%
ratio? Attack of the Clones. Phantom Menace.
That's a 50% ratio? And then how cruel are Star Wars fans to Lucas for honoring his vision? He's like, I've created this thing, you know, and it's not to my satisfaction, so I want to go back and take a look at it. I'm pro George Lucas. I think that if he's not happy with his masterpiece, he should be able to go finish it. But no, crowds and crowds of Star Wars fans are so blatantly cruel to him and just unrelentingly nasty about the first three movies. Oh, like the prequel movies. Oh, they're horrible. No, Star Wars is just a pathetic.
Whoa.
Pathetic.
Fuck you.
Pathetic, cruel.
Fuck you.
Joke.
Fuck you.
On. No, I'm just saying, like, look. I think Empire is a great movie. Lee Brackett worked on it. She doesn't get the credit she deserved. Lawrence Kasdan directed it. He doesn't get the credit that he deserved.
Okay, no. There's two
That's
points.
True. That's
there's
true.
2 points that you've made so far.
So, but getting back to
but I think that ultimately the challenge with Star Wars is that everybody saw it was when they were young,
right.
Can't see the plot holes in it, can't see the flaws in it, and ultimately I think it's endemic of a culture that can't create anything new, and when new things are created, they blast it for it not being true to the original. I watched The Force Awakens. Yes, okay, yeah, there's a Star Destroyer that's crashed down, and yeah, I saw that in Winter Soldier when, we had a crazy hill. The helicarrier and that crash, whatever. Like, it's fine. You know, and the fact that George Lucas liberally borrowed from, like, the Fortress and liberally borrowed from, like, Jack Kirby and the Force and the Source, Dark Side or whatever, like, the crazy, like, matrix of familial relationships. Like, okay, whatever. People like the first movie. People like the second movie. Fine. People lambast the third movie. Oh, it's got the little teddy bear people.
I love the third movie.
So could you just say Star Wars is great and we're going to cut out the rest of the stuff you said?
Yeah.
No, so ultimately, I have a problem with just, I mean, I don't care if Han shot first. I think Greedo shot first. Whatever. Like, ultimately, I just don't care.
Wow.
I just don't care.
Greedo shot first?
Hey.
But I saw the trailer because I wanted to remove my biases because a friend of mine edits the Star Wars comic books. And I thought, well, you know what? Yeah. I will give this the benefit of the doubt. Maybe J.J. Abrams will be great. But ultimately, what's going to happen, fans are going to see it. They're going to be just as nasty as they were with Phantom Menace.
I don't think they will be.
Do you think Star Wars fans are nasty to the first three, the prequels?
I agree. All the hate is overhyped. I didn't like those movies very much either because of the things that we all talk about. But I do think the being so negative about it is sort of like, why are you just like, move
Look,
on. We're all
I don't like I don't like Star Wars, but that's fine. I'm not going to prevent you guys from liking it.
Thank
That's
you.
Great.
That's
How excited are you for Fuller House? We can talk about that in a week.
Excellent.
Fuller House. All right, I think we have time for one more question.
Yeah, we've got two,
sir. Oh, we have two more questions? All right, you, sir. Come over here. What's your name, sir?
It's Josh.
Hey, Josh, what's your question?
Hey, I just had a quick question. Is it true that Star Wars Part 7 was originally titled Star Wars Bubba-ing for Apples?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, that was actually the original name.
That was the working title.
And I think you also, unless you've given
well
away.
Well done on your joke, sir. That was a long... You were so patient.
Yeah.
That's
You're
incredible.
So incredibly patient.
That's great question. Timing.
And I think we have one more question over here. All right. What's your name, sir?
Navin. All right, Navin, what's your question? Which movie or TV series do you want to see adapted into a comic book?
Oh, nice. The Good Wife. The Good Wife. What?
Good Wife. Oh, so quick to answer. Alex,
you mean, okay, so just a little context. It was just announced that Revolution on NBC is going to be continuing its final season through DC Comics Digital.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, wow, that's weird.
Are you working on it?
I am not working on it.
Great.
But I do know that it was announced that Revolution would be continuing. So I wanted to provide some context.
Nice.
Thank you very much. That's great. So that's because you're the host.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the host of the series.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Good. I don't know.
Daredevil?
Sure.
Yeah.
I hope they made it
back into a comic.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to see a True Detective style. I mean, I don't know about this.
You know who
two.
I think would do a really good True Detective style comic? Alex Zagura.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
He's a because in addition to obviously working for Archie, you know, he's a detective and crime novelist.
Yeah, he's a mystery writer.
I think he just published a novel three, 4 months ago.
Yeah, Silent City, and then you could get Francisco Francavilla to draw it, and I think that would be get Archie to publish it. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. What about, like, seeing the next couple of books of Game of Thrones as comic books?
Well,
since George R. R. Martin is
I will say that Better Call Saul is already a comic book.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
Did Steve work on that?
Steve Ellis, illustrated by Steve Ellis, and Breaking Bad is a comic book. AMC is really good, with the I think the exception of Mad Men.
Have they made a comic book out of The Walking Dead?
Oh, you beat me to that.
No, they haven't. Which
they
really
should.
Weird.
They really should. It's a popular show.
Well, what about 60 Minutes?
Ooh,
the comic.
Yeah.
Crisis on 60 Minutes.
I will say this. I would love, before it ends, I would love to see a comic book version of The Daily Show.
Oh, yeah.
All right. August 6th is the last episode with Jon Stewart, by the way.
The show will go on, as they say.
Yeah, but true. But it won't be The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
That's true. It won't.
Good point.
Cool. You're going to get some free comics, and that's it for your audience question.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It's time for our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek.
We do like to call it that.
We love calling it that. And The Week in Geek, we talked about a couple of the topics already, but there's still a ton of stuff in the world of TV and movies to go over, so we'll hit it real quick. First of all, Valiant Comics announced today, huge deal with Sony Pictures.
Yeah.
They're going to release a Valiant universe of movies, starting with Bloodshot, then Harbinger, then Bloodshot 2, then Harbinger 2, then Harbinger Wars when the two movies cross over. What do you think about this plan? Are you excited about it? Cautious about it?
Well, there's a lot of great writers and stuff that have been working on the book. I'm sure it's great. I just don't know enough about it to be like, oh, that's going to be the fucking best.
Obviously, following the Harry Potter model of releasing movies and having them all combined.
Yep.
Obviously following the Marvel movies. The thing is that I feel like they don't know if they have the readership on those books to really make that splash.
It's Valiant is awesome.
Nobody's
saying about this almost on a nightly basis, how every single book that Valiant releases is knocking it out of the park, is great, incredible quality, all different. They have a willingness to completely reinvent and kill their titles.
Yeah.
Like Bloodshot, I think they've done three different Bloodshot titles, but they're all uniquely different and feel like a different story, which is great. So I'd love to see a Bloodshot movie. I'd love to see a Harbinger movie. I'd love to see Exo Manowar, all of these other titles
that
they have.
I'd like to see Shadowman,
but I feel like announcing five movies all at the same time is a little premature.
Yeah, it's a little
ballsy, is what
too
it
ambitious,
is.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm sure they make a valiant effort, but I guess we'll
I like it. All right, let's move on with another piece of news. This came out today.
Wait. Are you guys going to ask me what I think about this?
Oh, what do you think about this?
Here we go.
No, you usually let the guests answer the questions.
Okay, fine. But as the host, I didn't get to ask people
sure
about this. No, it's fine.
Get to it already.
No,
you're
it's fine
with it.
No,
that's what you want to say something. You're going to say something.
I
something.
Think that it's. I think the challenge with the Valiant stuff is that it hasn't necessarily reached the cultural zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Of something like Ms. Marvel with Kamala Khan. So, or, you know, Thor, Goddess of Thunder. So I think it's going to be a real challenge. They've got a really, just observationally, they've got a real uphill battle to make sure that they've got people interested in what they're doing. Yeah.
But that said, if you are listening to this, please do check out Valiant Comics because they're awesome.
Yeah. Let's move on with another piece of news. We teased this a little bit earlier, but in tomorrow's issue of All New X-Men from Marvel Comics, it's going to be revealed that Iceman, or rather the time-traveling young Iceman from the 1960s, is gay.
Yeah.
Which is surprising. Not necessarily totally unexpected, I think, based on the way that Bendis has been writing things all along. But what do you guys think about this development?
I have challenges with it.
Okay, what are your challenges?
I have challenges with it, but look, I'm ultimately, I think, embracing the fact that I think since the 1980s, Bobby Drake, even as depicted in Defenders, has had challenges with, not exact challenges, but sort of allusions to his sexuality. Like, I was raised on Iceman and Spider-Man as amazing friends and Defenders and whatever, but down from when Bobby was dating Cloud or in the 90s when Emma Frost made fun of him for his interior decorating skills or whatever. Like, I think that there's been, like, sort of these weird allusions to Bobby Drake being gay, but I think that modern Bobby Drake is kind of more questioning. In the 90s, during the Chuck Austin era, I think that there was a brief on and off again thing with he and Northstar. But I think it's cool. It does raise some interesting questions about nature versus nurture. Does raise some interesting questions about environmental factors and cultural stimuli. I think the 1960s were not a time to announce that you were gay and being a mutant, because that existed in our culture. But I think in the modern era, where sexuality is a little bit more freely embraced, I think it's an interesting challenge, and I think it might provide a little bit more character to Bobby, especially if he's bouncing off the straight version of his character.
Well, and I think it'll be interesting to read the issue to find out how, or if we even see that in this issue, how the main continuity, the present day Bobby Drake, takes hearing.
Just interrupt. We won't actually.
You don't see it.
Yeah, we see the young one in All New X-Men number 40, and then in Uncanny X-Men number 600, which comes out in May. That's when we'll find out what's going on with the older one.
Oh, cool. Yeah. But that, from a story perspective, I think that that's really interesting to me, to have like the young time-traveling version of a character come out of the closet and seeing them talk to each other about that. I'm definitely looking forward to that story.
Here's the two things I'm excited about. I actually hopped on the phone with Axel Alonso today to talk to him for a story for MTV News about this once I saw the leak, and we talked for quite a while about it. The two things that I think are particularly great, one, when I was doing research for the story, we all know there are some gay comic book characters, right? You know,
yeah.
There's Northstar, there's Batwoman, etc. But looking over the list, at least on Wikipedia, there are approximately 99 superheroes in all of comicdom who are either gay, lesbian, or bi, and that's it. That's as opposed to in Marvel, you know, they like to tout, we have 5,000-plus characters that could be used for movies. Out of that, not even 100 characters.
Right.
And none of them name-brand characters. And then you have Iceman, who's a character who's been in pretty much every single X-Men movie. People actually know who he is revealed to be gay. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's a gigantic step forward.
Do you think it's a cop-out to make it the young time-traveling version rather than the main version?
No, because I think that's the in. That's the person who is finding out more about himself and testing himself in different ways.
So do you think that they'll make main 616?
I think so. I think we'll find out what happens in that issue. That's certainly what Axel was teasing to me. But the other thing that I was going to mention that I was really happy about from talking to him.
Gay about? Because gay and happy are the...
I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that.
We've talked about this quite a bit on the show, that whenever a character turns out to be gay, they then
every single issue are like, by the way, I'm gay, or mention something sexual about somebody else of the same sex at every issue. So I asked Axel about that, and he said, I'm so glad you asked that. No, we're not doing that. He called it a shading of the character, that it's something that will be part of the character, that will be touched on, but make him richer as a character, but it's not something that takes over. It's part of who he is and permanently now.
So what you're saying is you're spoiling May's issue of X-Men by saying that Bobby Drake of 616 will be gay.
As far as I know, yes. There you go. Cool.
The next thing to talk about is... let's do a Daredevil check-in with you guys. Where are you on the series?
Wow. I finished it the first day.
Co-opting.
What?
I finished it the first day.
The first day?
Yep.
You saw...
The first day?
All 13 episodes in the...
Oh, you finished it on the first day.
Nice.
Watched it back to back.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. Four episodes in.
Do you want to know why?
Yeah, why?
Because some jerk revealed or tried to reveal on my Facebook feed... what Daredevil's costume looked like. And I was like, I'm not going to see that. I blocked everybody who did it. And then...
wow.
And then you've been...
Yeah, I wasn't messing around.
Just based on what the costume looked like?
Wait, so you saw three more episodes than last week?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
He's really...
I'm super busy.
How many episodes do you see, Pete?
Yeah, I've seen them all. Kingpin. I met Kingpin now. He's super cool.
Yeah, he's super cool dude.
Ruth and Christos Gage wrote episodes 4 and 9.
Yeah, which is awesome. Can we move on?
Sure.
I've watched them all as well.
Yay, Justin, watch something.
Very happy.
All right, I'm sorry.
Hey guys, thanks a lot. You're really encouraging.
I'm sorry. I found it super boring before episode 4. All right, so last thing to talk about: Batman v Superman. The trailer finally came out. Got a resounding booyah from the audience. That's great.
Yep.
Did you guys watch the trailer? What did you think?
You had no reaction? Sorry. Well, we should ask Pete instead of this slowly uninflating balloon right now.
Yeah, I hit play on it. I watched it, and then it was
over. Oh, you hit play?
Cool. Yeah, it happened.
You have no response? Are you down on it?
Were you excited after seeing that?
No, I didn't like it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm
saying. Can I mention? So you guys know, I've talked about this incessantly on the show, not the biggest Man of Steel fan in the world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
One might even say it's one of the few things that I abjectly hate.
Wow.
Yeah, we talked a lot when it came out about Superman killing the second half of the movie.
It makes me angry. I'm actually getting angry thinking about it right now. But
like as angry as I get about Star Wars?
There you go.
Wow.
So I...
Gotcha.
I watched the trailer.
You got
thought it was pretty stupid. Not particularly into it. I went to see... They had an IMAX event last night where they showed off the trailer in IMAX. I went to the one at Lincoln Square because that's the real IMAX of the city.
We all know that.
Well, people who are listening don't necessarily live in New York
City. Sure.
So I watched it there. A crowd of fans. They had Zack Snyder introduced it. They showed the trailer once. Zack Snyder talked between it, and then they showed the trailer again. That was basically the thing.
Wow.
They showed it again.
Zack Snyder came all the way out for a trailer?
I'll tell you, I almost lost my shit while I was watching it.
Because you were excited.
Yes.
Even though you'd already seen the trailer?
They got me. Like, first of all, that's IMAX, because you can't watch something at gigantic IMAX and not be into it. But that last scene where they cut to Batman and he's in, like, the mech suit thing is in full IMAX. So it's the entire screen. The entire trailer, I'll tell you what.
You fool.
I've totally been tricked.
You fool. You got fooled.
Hey, drink this Kool-Aid.
Someone showed you something pretty and you went home with it.
Look at this shiny thing over here.
Here's the thing. You're watching it on the computer. It looks stupid. You're watching it in IMAX and the statue of Superman is looming over you. Superman is flying over
the
you.
Statue
everything.
Of Superman?
There's a huge statue of Superman that
they
built.
Freak or something? Yeah. Here's the thing. Visually, it looks cool. But what I'm saying is the portrayal of Superman and Batman is going to be not what I want to see.
No,
and it's going to make me angry.
I 100% agree with you.
So then how are you?
I don't know what happened. Here's what I'll tell you.
Look beyond this.
When they showed off the trailer,
they show the whole trailer, cut to the logo. There's one extra scene they showed off in the IMAX thing. which is Superman looking super pissed off looking off the screen. He starts to run towards the screen. They cut to Batman. He's running towards the screen. They both jump at each other and are about to punch each other in the fucking face. And then it cuts to black. And I swear to God, my body melted.
And then it says,
I'm sorry. I don't care what I hate. I can't watch Superman and Batman beat the shit out of each other on IMAX and not lose it.
So you're telling me that when that movie comes out, you think you're going to like it?
No!
Well,
but I'm
going to
cry. I'm going to cry like a little baby.
You're lost.
I don't know. I'm lost.
I'd rather talk to Dave about Star Wars than listen to that shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to know what I thought of it?
Sure.
Jeez. What? Yes, Dave.
Sure, go ahead.
But thanks for having me on, first of
all.
Yeah!
You're welcome.
And so, ultimately, my favorite version of the trailer was the one where fans had subbed out Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill for Adam West and Christopher Reeve.
Yeah. Right. Have you guys seen that version? That proves my point, which is say... Those even though Adam West is a more interesting version, a version we haven't seen of Batman than the one we're going to get in this movie. Where it's like dark, brooding.
But Ben
bullshit.
Affleck really worked out hard for this movie.
And that's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
All right, guys, real quick, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LaPipe.
Yeah, all right, guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming out. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25 free? Yes, you, first hand up guy, coming up on stage.
Wait. Dollars or dollars?
Unbelievable.
And
here you go.
It's a gift card to Midtown Comics.
Hello.
What is your name, sir?
My name is Pablo.
Pablo, audience Pablo.
Hello.
Woo!
Yes.
All right, Pablo, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. You guess all three questions right, you win $25. So as long as you read every comic that came out this week, you'll be fine. In Spawn, number 251.
Wow, weird choice.
We find out blank is in hell. Is it A, Spawn's wife, B, Spawn's dog, or C, hey, did you know Spawn's still going on? So it's either A, Spawn's wife, which is correct, or it's B, Spawn's dog.
I had to go with the wife.
Yes, you are correct,
sir.
And of course,
all dogs go to heaven, as we all know.
Yeah, we all know that. So
there's no real reason to think it would be
a dog. For taking that bit right out of my mouth. Great. Question number two. In 8, number 3, on the recap page, it tells us the colors. What is the colors of the past? Is it A, blue, B, green, or C, in issue number 8 of this comic, 8, it better be some kind of crazy Infinity issue. I'll tell you that much. You're calling it 8, and then you're just like, issue numbers? All right. Anyways, do you think it's A, blue, or B, green?
It's B.
Yeah, nice job. All right, here
nice.
We go. Last one. Miss Marvel continues to be amazing. We see that in issue number 14, which just came out. But what sticks out to you about the cover? Is it A, her reflection in the puddle, B, Captain Marvel on all the TVs, or is it C that it says written by Wilson? Fisk? Who wrote it? So which one of those, and I'll accept any of them, A, B, or C?
I say B.
B is correct. Here you go, $25 free.
Nice.
Congratulations, Pablo. Congratulations.
Unbelievable. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Samurai Jack number 18.
Great. Don't want to know why. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
I guess
Green Lantern Corps number 1.
What is that?
Green Lantern Corps Convergence.
Of course. I mean, we've already read that, and we loved it, but we'll still buy it anyway because we care so much about you.
I'm looking forward to Star Wars number 4 has been
a very good book. I'm looking forward to Velvet number 10, great book, if you want to check that out.
Yeah, it's like the Star Wars of spy stories.
A lot of
what are you looking forward to, David?
I'm looking forward to Hawkman Convergence number 1, written by Jeff Parker, which I think is going to blow your mind.
Ooh. Jeff Parker is a badass writer,
so
I'll tell you that
I'm
much.
Not going to read that.
It's like the Star Wars of Hawkman books.
Nice.
So you hate it?
I love Hawkman.
All right, plug your stuff. What should people check out, David?
They should check out Only Living Boy at olbcomic.com. High Moon!
Moon, the Harvey-winning werewolf western at highmooncomic.com.
I would like to say that, you know, you might be listening to this podcast and thinking, like, fuck this guy. He hates Star Wars. I'm not going to check out his shit at all. But he actually, all of his shitty opinions aside, he's actually a great writer and has amazing stuff. So I beg of you to check it out.
Great
David,
disclaimer.
I think you have your next pull quote.
Yeah. Woohoo! Despite his shitty opinions, he's a great writer. Pete LePage, Comic Book Club Live.
That's actually a pretty good... we are journalists. Yeah.
Oh, and then Green Lantern Corps Convergence number one comes out on this week, tomorrow. Yeah. And then next month, Green Lantern Corps Convergence number two, which is even better than the first one.
Nice. Awesome. Nice.
All right, very cool. Definitely check out all of that stuff. Pete, before we go.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan.
Yeah.
We want to thank David for being on the show. We want to thank everybody here at
Thanks for coming out, guys.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, LA Scott.